all about grace. The Voice of St. Paul, this podcast, is about grace. That's what you will hear here. Grace, mercy, God's love in Christ. St. Paul Lutheran Church in Catonsville, Maryland, offers sermons, occasional devotions, and thoughts from Pastor Greg Alms and others. On this podcast, you'll hear about the love of Christ for you and in your life. We invite you to listen, to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. We've come to the end of the church year. This is the last Sunday of the church year. Next Sunday is the first Sunday in Advent. The lessons for today all focus on one way or another on the end of the world, what we sometimes call Judgment Day. In the gospel lesson, we see Jesus as the great judge at the end of the world, separating people, sheep, from goats. And so we think about these things. We sometimes wonder, you know, when Jesus returns, what will it be like? How will it actually happen? How will it be to see Jesus descending out of the sky on clouds? The Bible mentions a trumpet sound. What will that trumpet sound look like? What will it be when we approach the judgment throne of Christ and he's sitting on that glorious throne? How will all of those things look? How will it actually happen? All those things are interesting, but you know, in the end, the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about that last day. There are bits and pieces, and certainly Holy Scripture tells us everything we need to know, but doesn't really satisfy all of our curiosity. In Matthew 25 this morning, Jesus talks more about how we live now than what about what will happen then. He talks about what we do now, how we live our life, our attitude, and our actions towards others. I think what Jesus is wanting us to do is to live now in the light of his return. To live now knowing and being sure of that in fact he will return, that that trumpet will sound, that he will come with the angels in all glory, but that fact of his return ought to influence and affect how we live our life now, our actions, what we do today. I think a question that helps us shape our life now in light of the end of the world and the return of Christ is this question. Where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? On Judgment Day, when all things end, the Bible tells us that Jesus will return as judge. And so we think about Jesus on this big throne. Where is Jesus? Well, he's there on the throne, Judgment Day, being the judge. And it's true. That's what the Bible teaches, that he is the judge at the end of the world. We'll confess it in our creed. He will return to judge the living and the dead. He will separate the sheep from the goats. All will be gathered before him. So if we think about the end of the world and we ask that question, where is Jesus? Well, there he is, at the right hand of God, returning on the judgment seat, on the throne. Well, you know, take a look at this cross, because here we see a picture of Jesus. And there, above the altar, is a picture of the returning Christ, Jesus as a judge. You see, he's got the halo around his head, the crown over his head, not a crown of thorns, but a crown of a king, a ruler. He's robed in glorious robes, and he is returning. That is a picture of Christ, the judge, at the end of the world, returning in glory. But what is very interesting about that picture, that carving of Jesus as judge at the end of the world, is that he's on the cross. He's on the cross. And that proclaims to us and tells us a very interesting way to answer the question, where is Jesus at the end of the world and where is Jesus now? The Jesus who returns as judge to judge the living and the dead is the crucified one. It's the same Jesus. There is only one Jesus. The judge who returns at the end of time is the Savior. The one who comes at the end of the world is the same one who was born a baby, the Prince of Peace. That judge who comes is the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world by his sacrifice of himself on the cross. There is only one Jesus, and he is Redeemer, the forgiver of sins. Jesus doesn't change his personality. He's not one way at Christmas and one way during his ministry and a different way on the cross. And then when he returns at the end of the world, he's turned mean and angry and he's a judge. It's the same Jesus. There is only one. The one who comes at the end of the world is the one who died for the world, who shed his blood. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of all the world. There will be a separation, the sheep and the goats will go away. But Jesus died for those goats just as surely as he died for the sheep. And the goats who go away do it by rejecting Jesus, putting up their hand and saying, no, thank you. The Jesus who is the judge is the crucified one who came for the salvation of the world. We want to live now, today, answering that question, where is Jesus? We want to live now, today, in light of the end of the world. Yes, Jesus is the judge who will return to judge us. And yes, he is the same one on the cross. There aren't two Jesus, but only one. Well, where is Jesus now? If we are figuring out how to live in light of the end of the world, where is Jesus now today for me? Well, this cross helps us answer that question too. For Jesus here in the altar, in this chancel, over the altar, has his hands spread out in blessing. And where is Jesus now for me today? Where is this judge who is coming at the end of the world? Where is the one who was born, King of the Jews, Prince of Peace, sacrificed for me? Where is he? He's in these very things that happen under his outstretched arms in this chancel. Where the gospel is preached and the forgiveness of sins proclaimed, there is Jesus. Where you hear the words, your sins are forgiven, there Christ is. When little ones and big ones, old and young, are baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of their sins, there is Jesus. When his sacrament, the body and his body and his blood are given out according to his command for the forgiveness of sins, there is Jesus. Now you can't see him in those things. You can see the cross, but that Jesus there is a statue of wood is pointing you to the places where Jesus is, where he's hidden. He's hidden in the words that you hear written, spoken from Holy Scripture. He's hidden in the water. He's hidden in the bread and in the wine. But being hidden, faith hears and believes the words, the forgiveness of sins, Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You are forgiven. Jesus is there, hidden, not seen, but present. It's the end of the church year, and we think about the end of the world. But we must come to Jesus now, day to day in life, in the places where he is present, the places that he has promised to be, where he gives himself in mercy and forgiveness for us. That's the question for us today. Where is Jesus as we think about the end times. It's a good question to think about also when we leave the service today, when we aren't under this particular statue anymore. Where is Jesus on Tuesday around 11 a.m.? Where is Jesus on Friday? Where is Jesus as we go out, having grasped him in faith, having heard the word? Where is Jesus as I seek to live my life, as I seek to do good works, live a life that's pleasing to him? Where is he? Where can I find him? Jesus says, when the righteous feed the hungry, visit the sick, clothe the naked, they are doing it to him. Jesus says, when you did it to the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. When we go out and live our lives, Jesus says that he is present in the poor and in the needy, in the neighbors who are around us, in the little ones that we serve. Now he's hidden. Remember the Christians in Matthew 25 said, Lord, when did we visit you? When did we clothe you? When did we come to see you when we were sick? We never saw you. Well, Jesus says, I'm hidden. I'm hidden in the person who needs, the people you serve, the poor, the needy, those in prison. You can't see me, but I'm there. I'm hidden under that. Just like he's hidden here in the Lord's Supper. Just like he's hidden in baptism and you can't see him. Jesus hides himself not only here where we grasp him for the forgiveness of sins, but he hides himself over here too. When, having received forgiveness, having been made a new person, having been baptized, we now seek to live out our faith. The real presence of Jesus is here in the bread and wine, and it's also in the person of your neighbor who needs your help. Jesus hides himself there so that we might serve him. Jesus doesn't want us to give our works up to him in heaven to try to make Jesus happy. To try to hear Jesus to my good works, I'm giving them to you. Look, way up there in heaven. Instead, Jesus hides himself down here in the family member that you have that needs help, in the kindergartner that you teach day after day, in that neighbor that you serve by bringing them food or by taking them to the doctor, by the people that you pray for, by the family members that you raise and in the ways of righteousness. In all of these things, Jesus hides himself so that you might serve him, give thanks to him, praise him. You can't see him, but he is there. He places himself there so that you can know that you're pleasing God, that you're following his commands, that he's truly there. Yes, the world will end. And it might be a scary thought, and it's true. Until that day comes and we don't know the day or the hour, it's important to know where Jesus is. He is that judge at the end of time who will come to separate the sheep from the goats. But that one who comes is the Redeemer who was crucified for you. He is the same one who forgives your sins. And he is present in your neighbor as you seek to serve him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's it for today's podcast. Thanks for listening to the Voice of St. Paul. God be with you.